Mark 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, everybody say believeth, and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for this service. Thank you for all the fathers. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for each one that you have brought here today. I'm asking for the anointing of your Spirit to bring forth the word that you put on my heart. I can't do it without you. I need your help. And I ask you to take this word, put it in the heart of each and every person. This will not just be a message to be entertained by, but it will be a message with power to live a life that honors you and glorifies you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And amen. So a couple of weeks ago, I preached about the character of God. And one of the things that we discovered as relates to the character of God is this. Our faith really rises or falls based on our knowledge of the character of God. As I said a couple of weeks ago, faith grows strongest when its roots are wrapped around the character of God. I have faith today because I know the character of God. Because I know He's a good God. I know He's a good Father. I know that He loves me. I know that He cares for me. I know that He's faithful. I know that He's merciful. I know that He's compassionate. And because of all of that, my faith is strong in Him. And I said in that message, it's impossible to have faith in the character of God without knowledge of the character of God. The only place to get that knowledge of God's character is the Word of God. It's the Word that reveals to us the character of God. Now, I'm going back over this a little today because I'm feeling something. I'm feeling the Holy Spirit has strongly impressed me that in the days to come, the only people that are going to make it, that are going to rise above, that are going to come out on top, are the people that have strong, active, living faith in God. And strong, active faith in God can only come with a clear, accurate knowledge of who God is, His character. In Hosea 4 and 6, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Where do we get the knowledge that he's talking about? Right here. He's not talking about scholastic or academic knowledge. He's talking about knowledge of God. So he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And many times you'll hear people say that they love Jesus. They may not come to church. They may be the most faithful attender at the local bar, but they love Jesus. And you can tell it because they will sing Amazing Grace once they get good and drunk. But in reality, they don't know Jesus. They can't really love Jesus if they don't know who he is. Now you stay with me. The only way to know who Jesus is to study the Word of God. So in reality, they can't really love Jesus because they don't know Jesus. So I'm not saying they don't mean what they say. I believe many people do mean what they say, and they love what they think about Jesus. They love the little bit of secondhand information that they have about Jesus. And then with that little bit of secondhand information, they just go ahead, they build and create the image of the Jesus that they love and that will love them just like they are and won't require or ask of them for any change from them. The problem with that is this. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. He does love us. He does accept us just like we are. But then he not only requires change, he demands change. He said you got to deny yourself daily and take up your cross and follow him. Paul the Apostle said, I die daily. Why would he have to die daily? Here's why. Because that old man that I was is trying to resurrect every day. That old man with his old attitudes, his old thought processes, the old way of thinking, the old way of doing things, is always wanting to stick its head back up. And I have to die daily. I have to crucify that man. And so you have to understand, we've got to understand, God loves us. He loves it. Look at your name and say, God loves you. But then tell him this, say, but there's some things about you he doesn't like. God loves me. God loves you. But we're not perfect. We didn't start out perfect, right? I mean, some of you did. Some of your little angels. You were born with angel wings and a halo. But the rest of us, we weren't perfect. Only Jesus is perfect, really. So it may be a shock, but God loves us, accepts us like he is, like we came to him, but he sees things in us that he doesn't like and that he wants to change. And they're not like Christ. They're un-Christ-like. And the main purpose for the presence and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to change us into the likeness and the image of Jesus Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit in us is not just to make us talk in tongues and make us feel good, but the work of the Holy Spirit in us is to mature us into the likeness, the image of Jesus Christ. That Christ will be formed in us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm saying all this today, it's kind of foundational, but I'm saying it because I'm getting ready to say something, and this is not that easy to say. One of the reasons why it's not that easy to say is because it is so true and because it identifies and exposes something that's lacking in most of us. And I'm going to be honest about this. I don't really enjoy telling everybody about my shortcomings. I really don't. I'm not really one that likes to get up and tell everybody, well, you know, I should have been more forgiving. I should have been more understanding. You know, I had this situation, you know, and I didn't act this right. And I don't really like that. It happens, but I don't really like that. I don't really like telling all of my weaknesses and shortcomings. Most of the time I try to put on a better front than that, right? Put your best foot forward. But listen to this. The Holy Spirit has been dealing with me about something that when I first heard it, it's like, it doesn't make sense. And he brought this thought to me about when I read Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. And I heard him speak to me about the subject of unbelieving believers or faithless believers. Now that almost sounds like an oxymoron. It's like that one cancels out the other. How can that be true? That you'd be a faithless believer? Well, this is what I'm talking about. How can one be an unbelieving believer? Well, I think the answer is in this. It's in the biblical definition of a believer. I think the church, in the church, we have misidentified the fact and the true definition of believing. Much of the church has bought into a substitute for true Bible believing. If that's not true, somebody would say, well, I don't know if I agree with that, Pastor Sisney. Well, then how many of us have cast out a devil lately? He said, these signs will follow them who believe. Is it because there's a shortage of devils? I wouldn't think that, right? I wouldn't think that. I think there's probably more devils, more demon possession, more demonized people today than ever in the history of our country. My life, for sure. But much of the church is bought into a substitute for true Bible believing. It's like the story where Solomon, he made 200 shields of gold worth about $100,000 each. He kept them in his palace. Then a wicked king of Egypt named Shishak came in and he stole those golden shields. He stole those shields from his palace. Now, instead of going through the effort, instead of rousing up, instead of getting a fight in his spirit, Rehoboam, his son, who took over for Solomon, he didn't go after those gold shields. He didn't say, I got to get that back. Those shields belong in my house. Those were stolen from me. Those were authentic, beautiful, golden shields. And they represent authenticity and authority and purity and power. But instead, Rehoboam just replaced them with substitutes of inferior design and quality. He just hung up brass shields in their places. Now, the brass shields had a very similar appearance, but they were inferior. They were imposters. Everybody say imposters. Now, mental assent, you may have never heard this word before, but mental assent agrees to the validity of God's word, the truth of God's word. Mental assent will actually even argue for the integrity and the authority of the word of God. But mental assent is very deceptive because it can look like faith to someone without spiritual discernment. Like the shields. The brass shields look like the gold shields. You couldn't tell them from a distance. They both had a shine to them. They were both shining. In other words, you have to understand, mental assent can preach about, sing about, talk about, confess, declare, and decree the power of God and the power of the Word of God, but mental assent always breaks down at the point of confrontation. In other words, mental assent is exactly that. It's just the assent of the mind and agreement of the mind, but that's not faith. Everybody say, that's not faith.
That's not faith.
It's not faith. Now, it's interesting to me when I begin to study this. It's interesting. There are two different words that sound the same, and they actually combine to define what mental assent is. The first word is assent, A-S-S-E-N-T. It is a word that indicates agreement or approval. The second word is assent, A-S-C-E-N-T. Assent means to, it refers to an upward movement. Okay? So you put these two words together and you come up with this. It means to go up through mentally agreeing. To go up through mentally agreeing. Okay? So, true Bible faith, listen to this. True Bible faith is not of the mind. It is of the spirit. True Bible faith is a spiritual birth within the heart. As a matter of fact, true Bible faith can actually stand and will stand directly opposed to mental assent. You can mentally assent. You can agree that you can walk on water with Jesus. Now listen to this. You can agree that you can walk on water with Jesus, but mental assent will never leave the boat. It will agree. It'll agree with it. Oh, yeah. But it will never leave the boat. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, in 1 John 5:4. Faith is born of the heart. It's a spiritual birth within the heart. It happens when the word of God is received into the heart and it is believed and acted on. True Bible faith always is always identified, not just in the saying, but in the doing. True Bible faith will be found on the water, while mental assent will always be found sitting in the boat talking about walking on the water. Faith is always measured in not just the saying, but the doing. James said, "Wilt thou not know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" True Bible faith always has corresponding actions. It's true. Generally speaking, the first corresponding action of faith is an agreement with what God's word says. It is an agreement and a confession to the truth of the Word of God. But if it doesn't go beyond just a verbal agreement or audible declaration, then it falls short of Bible faith. It falls in the category of mental assent. Now, what you may be sensing this morning is what you call learning.
Amen.
Now, the other day, I'm not going to tell you why, but I had to sit in front of a computer for about 6 hours doing something called learning, reading. It wasn't that exciting, but it was important. It wasn't that exciting, but it was necessary. Now you have to understand that the learning process might not be that exciting, but it's necessary. This thing called mental assent has been robbing the church of true, vital Bible faith. And if we're not careful, it will rob us. And it will keep us from possessing everything God has for us. And keep us from being and doing what God has called us to do. If it doesn't go beyond just verbal agreement, then it always falls back into the category of mental assent. Giving some examples, I can say to you that I believe in the gifts of the Spirit as in the Bible, but if I never speak in tongues or never give an interpretation in tongues, there's never a prophecy, there's never a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit in any way, then I really am not a believer, I'm just a mental assenter. I agree that it's true. But if I never live it, never activate, never manifest it, then it's not true for me. It's just mental assent. Now, I titled this Unbelieving Believers, and I say that not to criticize or put down anyone, because I believe that many of us have fallen into that category without even knowing it. But the Holy Spirit is pulling back the covers because He is exposing the imposter of faith, and that imposter is called mental assent. Everybody say the imposter is mental assent. Say mental assent. You must go. And listen, the reason the Holy Spirit is doing this is because mental assent is like putting on a parachute pack with no parachute in it. You got the pack on. You look like you're prepared. You look like you're ready. You look like you're equipped. You might even feel like you're equipped because you've got the pack on the back. Somebody looks at you, think you're good to go because you've got the pack on the back. But when you pull the cord, nothing happens. Well, something happens, all right. Yep, it's a sudden stop. When you pull the cord, or we could say, when you put confidence in it, it will fail you and the results will be deadly. That's the danger of substituting mental assent for faith. And I'm going to be honest about it. Most of the church is full of mental assenters. In fact, there's actually very few that actually live and walk and live an active, bold, powerful, biblical faith. And this should convict us. It should also encourage us. It should motivate us to recognize the imitation, to recognize the imposter, and to contend for true Bible faith. Everybody say, I want Bible faith.
I want Bible faith.
Not mental assent.
Not mental assent.
Say, I want to be able
to identify
the imposter. Jesus said in Mark, a scripture we read, He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And then He goes on to list the works that would be done by believers. He said, they will cast out devils. He said they'll speak with new tongues. He said they will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They'll lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. One of the proofs that you're a believer is that you take steps to do what Jesus said to do. Serpents and scorpions is not talking about those little critters out there. It's not talking about rattlesnakes and copperheads and water moccasins. It's talking about demons. It's talking about demonic things. It's talking about sickness and disease and infirmity and fear and anxiety and stress and worry and jealousy and criticism. And it's talking about all these spirits, unforgiveness and bitterness and wrath. It's talking about all these things that affect and oppress people's lives. And Jesus said, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That means to get that stuff out, to get people free, to get them healed, to get them delivered. So within the church, there are classes, divisions of Christians. I'm not trying to be mean about this because I'm saying it hits me pretty hard at times. But there's the class of true Bible believers, and then there's the class of mental assenters. Now, I want to say something. One time when I was younger in the ministry, we were going around and we were evangelizing, preaching and stuff. And I came across this situation where I'm walking down the line and I'm praying for people. And some people are getting blessed, you know, and they're having a good woo! They're getting blessed. I'm feeling the anointing. It's good. But I got to this one person, and it wasn't the blessing kind of thing. It was the devil. And the devil started to manifest in that person. And when that devil started to manifest, I had never dealt with the devil before. So I was just like that guy that said, shikamoshai, shake the sack and pass him on by. I was like, when I got to that lady, so that devil started manifesting, and I'm like, just close my eyes and roll on by and lay hands on the other people. Now, what I found out that day, and I learned is this. If you stir it up, you're supposed to get rid of it. Mental assent looks real good until it's under pressure. It breaks down under pressure. Faith thrives on pressure. Faith grows under pressure. The greater the pressure, the more faith likes it. That's where faith shines. It shines under pressure. But the inferior and the imposter breaks down under pressure. And sadly, the class of believers that actually walk and live their faith is very small in comparison to the class of mental assenters. Now, one of the reasons for the size of the class of the mental assenter in contrast to the size of believers class is there's no risk involved in only being a mental assenter. If all I do is assent to the truth of God's word, I don't ever have to step out of the boat. I don't ever have to risk looking stupid. I don't ever have to risk failure. But the moment you take a step of faith, even if it's a small step, you leave the boat of mental assenters and you step into the class of true Bible believers. Because true Bible believers are the ones that get out of the boat to walk on the water. Now, this has been coming to me strong for the last several days, because I believe that it's critical and crucial to our future and to our well-being and the future of our children, our grandchildren, and this country that we become true Bible believers. True Bible believers. Not just mental assenters. Now, I felt the Holy Spirit, He just right between the eyes, man. Sometimes He'll just shoot something at you to hit you right between the eyes. And he said, do you really believe my word? Well, I said, of course I do. How many's ever heard the Holy Spirit talk directly to you? Ask you a question. I said, of course I do, Lord. That's what I want to tell him. I'm a strong believer. I'm a faithful believer. I love your word. I believe your word. I'm a doer of your word. Then he asked me a question. He said, do you believe everything I say in my word? Now I'm thinking, because he's asking this, he's doubling up on this. And so I'm thinking, and he gets more specific, and he says, and I think this was him being kind to me. He started with something easy. He said, do you believe my word is true when it says, lo, I am with you always? I said, oh yes, Lord. Do you believe my word is true when it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you? I said, oh yes, Jesus, I believe that. He said, do you believe my word is true when it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them? Well, I started meditating on those questions, and I began to feel that word stirring in me. And I thought, my Lord, yes, praise God. It's wonderful. I believe it. And then this thing began to stir in me. If we really believe Jesus was with us, not just the corporate hypothetical sense of the word, but the reality of the Spirit, the reality, Jesus himself. Everybody say Jesus himself.
Jesus himself.
Not another one. Jesus himself. Not a lesser one. But Jesus himself, by the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is present with us. Let me ask you, would the devil get away with most of the things he's doing? Would he get away with putting sickness on us? Would he get away with making us fearful and fretful and worried and anxious and stressed out? Would he, listen, will you see what I'm saying? If we really believe Jesus is right here with us, not just this sense that we have that he lives in us, Jesus lives in my heart. I understand that and I believe that and it's true for me. But if we really believe that he was with us, lo, I am with you always. I'm with you all the time. I'm with you wherever you go. If we really believe that, would the devil get away with stealing from us and hindering and binding our finances? Would he get away with attacking our children and our grandchildren? Would he get away with causing strife in our marriages? Would we ever have a dry service if Jesus is really here with me, with you? Would we? No. So I wonder how many things would change in our lives instantly if we actually believed that Jesus was with us, not just in us, but with us, standing right beside us. Ooh. Is that what it means when he says, I'm with you? I am with you always. Even to the end of the world. We agree that it's true, but here's the question. Is it just a mental assent, or is it a living, active, appropriating faith? When the disciples went out, they went out believing Jesus is with us. They cast out devils. They healed the sick. They raised the dead. I wonder how bold we would be today if we absolutely believed without a shadow of a doubt Jesus was with us everywhere in every situation we face, and we could not fail.
Amen. Yeah.
How bold would that make you?
Right.
How bold would that make you?
Strong.
How courageous would that make you? How fearless would that make you? In 1 John 4:4, it said, you are of God, little children. You have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I wonder what would change in our lives overnight if that word exploded in us and we really believed it and we acted like it's true. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Smith Wigglesworth said one time, he said, if that scripture is true, if that word is true, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, then can cancer stand before you? Can heart trouble stand before you? Can asthma, can diabetes, can all these, can these stand before you? If it's true, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. That's heavy duty right there.
That's right.
Thank you.
How about this scripture? Out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. Thus spake he of the Holy Ghost. Do we really believe that torrents and streams of life-giving waters can actually flow out of our innermost beings, and that those waters, living waters, can bring healing and blessing and miracles and deliverance and breakthrough in the lives of others? Do we really believe that? That's what the Bible says. But do we really believe it? Or do we just assent to it mentally, agree to it, but the rivers never flow? If I were to ask the question, how many believers we have in the house, probably every hand would go up.
Yeah.
Why? Because if you're saved, you're a believer, you got saved, it took faith to become a Christian, to become a child of God. We're saved by grace through faith. So we understand that, and it should. Your hand should go up. But here's what we have to understand about faith. We may have the greatest confession of faith ever been heard, but the truth is, faith is not measured by our confession alone. It's measured by the action or corresponding action to our confession. If I boldly confess that I believe God heals, but that confession never finds expression in me laying hands on the sick, then it's not faith. It's just mental assent.
Yeah, okay.
You see what I said right there? If I boldly confess, I believe God is the healer, but that confession never manifests by me laying my hands on the sick for them to be healed, then I just have a mental assent. I'm not really living my faith. If I really believe God can deliver you from any habit or addiction, then my faith will go into action for you to be delivered, to be set free. I'm sitting at a table one day, and there's this man that I'm talking to. And this man had been in the church for quite a while, and this man is a smoker. And this man, you know, it's one thing for him to smoke and all that, but this man would go outside with the young people, and he would pull on out aside, and they would have a little powwow out there, have a little fun during church while church was going on, and they'd be out there doing their thing, and he would be encouraging them all in the wrong direction. And so I'm sitting there talking to this man, and it's just bugging me. It's bugging me. My spirit is getting stirred up, agitated. And I look at him, his name's Luther. And he's been smoking, and I don't know how long he's been smoking, but long time, and he's encouraging these kids to follow his example. And I'm thinking, man, Lord, something needs to be done about this. And I'm hearing the Lord say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I said, I'm going to do nothing. I said, you need to do something. He said, he needs to be set free. So I'm sitting there, and I said, Luther, I look across the table. I said, Luther, I said, do you want to be free from those cigarettes? He said, yeah, brother, I do. I said, praise God. So I jumped up out of my chair. I went, bow, slapped my hands on the side of his head. I said, come out in the name of Jesus. He went. He shook for a while, and he never smoked again. He never smoked again. And a guy come up one night in an altar service, and he's been smoking for 40 years. 40 years. You want to be free? You want to be free? I pray for him. Pow! He started dancing around. God set him free instantly. Instantly. There's no trouble for the Holy Ghost. There's no trouble for God. It's no trouble. It's not a hardship for the Holy Spirit. It's the difficulty is not on his side. It's our side. Am I a believer or am I just a mental assenter? I believe in these last days there's coming to the remnant church, a returning to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Would you stand? I'm almost done. I need to wrap this up. In Jude 1:3, he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now watch what's happening. Jude is speaking of the faith that lives. In other words, it's a living faith that lives the word. It doesn't just mentally agree, but it takes God at his word. Now think about this. Already in the early church, the Apostle Jude is already realizing that mental assent was trying to crowd out true, authentic Bible faith. And even then, he's saying, look, we've got to guard against this. And he's saying, we got to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. In other words, we have got to make a conscious decision that I am not going to receive and accept an imposter. I am not going to accept an imposter. I want the real deal. And if you're going to get the real deal, you have to contend for it. You have to contend for it. Anybody can mentally assent to something. Anybody can agree with their minds that something is true. But if there's real faith involved, it will always get in your feet. And it will always move in the direction of your faith. And it will always get in your hands, and your hands will start doing something in agreement with that word. I think, in my heart, that the devil has sold much of the church a bill of goods, an imposter called mental assent that is taking the place of true Bible faith. And we, if we're not careful, we can pat ourselves on the back because we say, we agree. Oh, preacher, pastor, that's a good word. We agree. We agree. We agree that we are believers. We agree that we lay our hands on the sick, they recover. We agree that we go into all the world, preach the gospel. We agree that we give, that we honor the Lord with our substance, the first fruits of our increase. We agree. But agreement is not doing. And we can feel like we got that gold star like you get for attendance. And we can feel like we got the gold star because we can agree with everything the Word says. But friend, it's not enough for us just to agree with everything the Word says when there's so many people that are hurting and so many people that are suffering. We'll be praying for that young lady out there. My heart was breaking because she would not renounce that thing. You can't take sin out of somebody's heart. They got to confess it. They got to repent. They got to get it out. They got to make a conscious decision that they want to be free. But my heart was breaking because I saw the burden. I saw what the devil was doing to this young lady. And it made me angry. It made me angry at the devil. And it made me push forward and say to God, I don't want an imposter. I want the real deal. I don't want just a mental assent. I want an active Bible faith that does the job, that gets the job done, that gets people saved, that gets people healed, that gets people delivered, that gets people set free. Because we're living in a world that is messed up, and people need Jesus. And you've got him. You got him. Put your hand over your heart and say, I believe Jesus lives in me. I believe that Jesus walks with me and talks with me. I believe the word of God is true. I want to be a doer and not a hearer only. My world needs doers, not just big talkers and big thinkers. My world needs help. My world needs Jesus. They need the Jesus in me to heal them, to deliver them, to set them free, to open their prison doors, to open their blind eyes, to set them free. Lord Jesus, here I am. I want you to lift your hands and say,
Lord Jesus,
take my hands.
Use them
to heal the sick.
Use them
to set the captives free.
Use them
to cast out
serpents
and scorpions
and all the power of the enemy.
Lord,
here's my feet.
Use them.
Take me
where you want me to go.
Lead me
and I'll go.
Lead me
by your spirit.
I know
you know
who needs
everything I've got.
Lord Jesus,
I'm yours.
Use me
for your glory.
In Jesus' name.
Would you lift your hands and worship him for just a moment? Lord, I thank you today.
Lord, we just reject this mental assent that has been such a robber in the church of the living God.
And this imposter, Lord, that has snuck into the church, and that we can, if we're not careful, we can get real comfortable with mental assent, Lord,
and we're just to get adjusted and never do the works of the believers.
I'm saying this because I want to lay a foundation. I've been talking to you about the kingdom. I'm going to continue in different places and times talking about the kingdom, talking about the authority of the kingdom, talking about authority and faith and anointing. We've got to talk about these things. And the reason we've got to talk about it is because we've got to believe it.
Amen.
And the reason we've got to believe it because there are people who need to be set free. People need to be healed. People need to be delivered. This church has to be a place where people can find joy, peace, freedom,
Amen.
Healing,
Amen.
Salvation,
yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Has to be. You say, well, what will happen when that happens? No telling what will happen. No telling what will happen when devils get stirred up. No telling what will happen. But that's the price that we have to pay to get people free, to get people saved, to get people delivered, to get people healed. Jesus came to heal. I want you to lift your hands. Just worship him for just a moment. I'm not going to say, I'm not telling you what to say, just worship him for just a moment. Jesus, we love you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We honor you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that you came to heal, you came to save, you came to deliver, you came to set the captives free. And it's not by might or power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that word, I believe that word is true. Pastor, I got some things in my life I need to get out. I got some things in my life I'm dealing with I need to get out. I want to get free. I want to get past this thing. I want to get over this. I want to live a life that pleases God. And I'm just dealing with some things and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the struggle. I'm tired of the battle. I believe that God will deliver me. God will set me free. God will empower me today to get over this thing, to get through this thing. I'm ready to put it behind me and put it under my feet. If that's you, I want you to come. Just come real quick. If that's you. If that's you. If that's you, if there's anyone else, today is a day of victory. Today is a day. See, this is my part is to do this part. Your part is to respond. And then the Holy Spirit does his part. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit does his part. Hallelujah. You can't do it and I can't do it, but he can do it. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? The Holy Spirit is moving right now. He's here right now to do this. He's here to deliver us, set us free. He's here. Anyone else? Anyone else? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you today. Lord, that it's not by our might, it's not by our power, it's by your spirit. I'm not the healer. I'm not the deliverer. I'm not the miracle worker. It is you, Lord Jesus. You're the one
who come to heal, save, deliver, set the captives free. I thank you today, not by our might, by our power, by your spirit, Lord.
You do the work right now.
Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We believe we receive right now in the name of Jesus. We believe we receive right now, not by might or power, by your spirit, Lord Jesus. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord God. Free to be everything you called him to be, destined to be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Woo! Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just worship him, saints, worship him, saints. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Power of God. Make hold of Jesus. Hit the foot in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, it's not by your power, it's by your spirit, Lord. God, we break every yoke. Free in Jesus' name. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, Lord. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, by your spirit, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you do the work of God, that every yoke be destroyed now in Jesus' name. Not by my soul, God, by your spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for touching that now doing this work, Lord. Brother Keith, Lord Jesus, it's not our power, it's your power. It's your anointing, Lord. It's your anointing that destroys the yoke of the hungry. It's your anointing that sets us free. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, 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 Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, 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 Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's working. 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 All the way, right? All the way. Everything. Everything has to be over. I believe that. I believe that. I see that, baby. I see that. God, everything that's holding him back comes off of him right now. Jesus! Every yoke destroyed right now. Go in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Leave.
Yes, leave.
Yeshakarabasai, you came to you, Lord, to be free. You set your captives free. You said you should know the truth to make you free. Lord, thank you, Lord, that he's free. Free from head to toes in Jesus' name. Anything ever to you, Lord, is not of you. Come down with him right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Powerful.
Yes.
Working. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody stretch your hands this way and say in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name.
faith.
Yes, free.
Hallelujah. How many glad you came to church today?
Hallelujah.
Now, I'll tell you what. We want to know what God does for you. We want to know what happens. Sister Cindy gave me a testimony today about her back getting better and better, feeling better. God is doing something in her life, in her body. And it's a process, but it's happening in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's working in her, and she's celebrating every stage. Every stage. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You let God know, I'm thankful for what you just did. I'm thankful for the deliverance that I just experienced. I'm thankful that I didn't think a pornographic thought for the last 30 minutes. I'm thankful, Lord, that you set me free. I didn't need a cigarette for the last couple hours. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you set me free. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I don't have to have a Coors Light, or I don't have to have a Budweiser. I don't have to have it to take the edge off now. I can just talk to you, Jesus.
Amen.
Your Holy Spirit makes the difference.
Yes.
Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory. I don't have to have Mary Jane. I don't have to have marijuana. To ease the pain, I just go to Jesus. You give me all I need. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we give him another shout of praise and give hands clap today? Hallelujah. You're dismissed, but let me just say this as we're dismissed. The devil doesn't mind us coming to church. He doesn't mind us even getting all excited about the things of God. What he does mind is when it turns into the active faith of doing, of doing, of going, of speaking, of sharing our faith, of letting the waters flow. That's what he minds. But everybody say, devil, too bad,
too sad.
The water's going to flow.
Water's going to flow.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
You're dismissed. I'm blessed.